we are seeing that the seeding rates we should use here are a little lower than other studios, for example.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible. A robust return on your sorghum investment is not just a dream. Learn more at doubleteamsorghum.com. KWS Hybrid Rye, seeding the future since 1856.
Welcome to the Crop Science Podcast Show, brought to you by Wisenetics. I'm your host, Mark Licht, Associate Professor and Extension Cropping Systems Specialist at Iowa State University. Please subscribe to our channel to receive notifications of new episodes. Today, welcome to the show, Denner Lazari from KWS Cereals USA, where he is a hybrid rye product manager. Denner, let's start, describing your path from Brazil to Central Illinois, where I'm sure that there was some cultural changes that happened there, but obviously you had some educational experiences along the way too.
Yes, sure. So thank you for hosting me, to having me to speak today, first of all. And as you said, I was born in Brazil. I grew up down there in a family farm. So my parents are agricultors in a corn and soybean farm, basically. I studied in Brazil. I got my degrees there. I studied agronomy there. Then I got a master's degree in plant breeding, working with popcorn. When I finished that in 2019, I went first to UK. I worked with oilseed rape, canola, basically there, winter oilseed rape, 2 years at Limagren. And then after that, I got my position in KWS in Germany. So I worked with hybrid rye there the last three years, since I moved here to US and I start at this new position. So it was nice. It was a nice path. So very different countries. So the weather, first of all, was very different. So the weather in Europe and the weather here in USA is quite different from Brazil. Also, they work with different crops too. So we basically don't have winter crops as we have in Europe and in North America, in Brazil. So we would have basically spring crops there, more seasons during the year. So double cropping is more common there than would be here or in UK and Germany. And the language, so all the food, the lifestyle is completely different too. But I liked. It's good to be part of new cultures, to understand how the people think in other countries and have this real experience in loco. And working with agriculture even better, because it's what I really like.
Yeah, I've spent a little bit of time in Ukraine, and I, you know, while there's a lot of similarities between Europe and Eastern Europe and the U.S., there's obviously some pretty big differences. What part of Germany were you in? I've spent a little bit of time there, but not a lot.
So I was located in Wolde. I hope I'm pronouncing it correctly. It's halfway between Hamburg and Hanover. So it's Lower Saxony, North Germany, basically. Northwest Germany.
And so, yeah, they have a longer growing season than we do here in the U.S., or at least the Midwestern U.S. anyhow.
To be fair, it's quite similar, the growing season, but it's a little longer there.
So how long have you been in your role as a product manager for KWS? And tell us a little bit about what you do in that role.
Since January this year, January 25, so not so much time, a couple of months only. And here I'm just extending what I was doing in Germany. I was on the breeding department there, but working really close with the product managers in the countries that I was working with. So mainly Canada, USA, Spain, and Russia. Trying to get their insights to help the breeding process to develop new varieties adapted for that regions, basically. And as I had this contact really close with the people here, it was an easy transition. And I'm basically doing some research here on the agronomic and on the breeding side, established some network with universities and the private research people to gather some data and test the new products we have to fit the crop where it should, basically. So to understand how the crop work here, getting some data to train our commercial team as well. And yeah, that's basically what I have been doing. So it involves a lot of travel to see trials in different parts of the country. It's really interesting as well because I can see some plots in Washington with one soil and weather condition, and the next week be in Pennsylvania and see a totally opposite situation in terms of weather, soil, and it's interesting to see how the crop behaves differently in each region here. And with that, also gather some knowledge from these guys that are in local, looking at the plots every day as well, to get insights for my team, for my people to really recommend the correct thing for rye.
Yeah, it's really important to do that with hybrid rye being, I'll call it relatively new, right? I mean, it hasn't been here for, you know, half a century yet, but so it's relatively new. And so while we know some things about cereal rye production in the United States or in our, you know, our local areas, hybrid rye is just a little bit different, right? It has a different yield potential and some different characteristics that we have to pay attention to. Can you share some of the insights that you're starting to see from these research projects?
Yes. So we are seeing very good yield stability across the country. So it normally yield quite well across the country. So it's a very stable crop. So very reliable crop. We are seeing that the seeding rates we should use here are a little lower than other cereals, for example. Normally, you would use as well a little less nitrogen than you would use for wheat. In terms of irrigation, where it is used, you would also be a little more efficient on water usage. It's interesting to see how the crop also survived really well through the winter. So it's a really winter hardy crop. So it's really interesting. Yeah, I think those would be the main insights. It's interesting to see how the crop behave well against diseases as well. So it's a little more, it's a lot more tolerant than other cereals to the main diseases, like fusarium, like rust, in some special cases, even against the snow mold. So that's what I have been looking at this year and what we have been realizing on the last years as well.
It sounds like we, you know, with lower seeding rates and lower nitrogen rates and maybe a little bit better disease resistance, it sounds like it's a crop that, you know, using hybrid rye is, in some respects, can help us lower some of our costs of productions. Would that be a good way to summarize it?
Yes, it would be a good way. Perfect.
I guess I'm thinking more on the agronomic side here, you know, with seeding rates. Is the lowering of the seeding rates because it's establishing better and then it produces more tillers, or have you been able to figure out some of the dynamics around that?
Yeah, exactly. So normally the seeds, they have lower 1,000 kernel weight than other cereals. So it would be a little bit more difficult to establish the crop specifically, but it's not a problem if you are planting it correctly. I mean, you should pay a little more attention during the planting on rye than other crops on the plant depth and the time you are planting it. But as soon as the crop germinates well, it tillers heavily. So we see a lot more tillers than other cereals in rye. And then the crop just filled the gaps, basically. So we use lower seeding rates because of this point. The crop, it's really interesting on the tiller inside. So we would see even 20 tillers per plant, even more sometimes.
You know, I get most of my experience with cereal rye here in Iowa, at least as a cover crop. I'm guessing, you know, that hybrid rye is maybe not a great candidate, you know, as a cover crop, just you know, naturally, because it has a little bit higher, you know, cost for that seed. Where are you finding, you know, kind of the economic benefits from this return on investments, you know, from, you know, not only the higher cost of seed, but then also, you know, being able to sell it into the marketplace?
So basically, as I said, the seeds are a little higher in price, for sure. It would not be the best candidate for cover crop, as you said, because it's a hybrid. So then the seed costs a little more. But the returns on yield are expressive. So you would have a very high yield. And this would be the main, let's say, return on investment of the crop. So the higher yields that it has compared to cereals. In some cases, depending on the price of other commodities, it could be really profitable. And it's always interesting to grow rye because we are working on that, actually, building some calculators. And on corn, for example, you can have very high margin, but if the prices drop a little bit, you have problems. Rye is a little more flexible on that, so you would not lose so much money. Basically, it's hard to lose money on rye. You would not make that high profit as corn, but you're still making a very good profit with rye. So it's really flexible and really reliable, basically. That's the main advantage. And nowadays, we have been selling the grain for distillery markets. So they are buying this rye mainly from northern Minnesota, because of their needs. But we are working on that to improve some characteristics on some traits on the crop for expand a little bit this whisk market for southern states as well. We are working hard on the feeding side, so promoting rye for feeding swine mainly and introducing it to feedlots and dairies in terms of grain. And also on the forage side as well. So for feedlots and dairies, basically, on the forage.
So you mentioned that hybrid rye has some market share, obviously, on the grain side in northern Minnesota. But you also then mentioned a little bit about how the biomass is being used for silage for like a cattle feed ration or a dairy feed ration. How competitive is hybrid rye with biomass production as compared to maybe like an open pollinated?
So we are seeing very interesting results on hybrid rye. Of course, as you mentioned before, the seed cost would be a little bit higher than an OP rye. But you can manage that at the end. In some regions, the price would match because, as I said before, the seeding rates are lower. And in an OP, you would use almost double than what we have on rye. And in some cases, we are seeing advantages of 1 to 2 tons on dry matter compared to OPs. And hybrid rye would be harvested as early as an OP, and it would be normally 7 to 10 days earlier than a 3TK variety and even 2 weeks earlier than some wheat varieties that are used for forage. So in some regions where we are seeing very interesting results, like in Utah, it's quite important and it's quite interesting for them to have this earliness on the harvest because they can double crop better after that. So they can grow better corn after rye because of this 10 to 15 days advantage on sowing window, basically. And also in terms of water consumption there, it would use less water, basically, than other cereals. So it's quite interesting for them.
So you had mentioned that it's, more competitive or has higher yields, on the grain side of things. I know in some of our variety trials that we've had here in Iowa, we have four locations in over, several years, but I think we're typically seeing like a 20 bushel per acre advantage at least, and sometimes it's up to 40 or 50 bushels per acre. Is that what you see in other parts of the country too?
Yeah, correct. So it's normally what we see. So I'm quite confident to say that we have 30 to 40% yield advantage on hybrids compared to regular OPs or VNS varieties. And we see that across the country. So we are seeing average yields ranging from 100 to 120 bushels per acre in the Midwest, East Coast, and in some places on the Pacific Northwest, like in Idaho, we are seeing even yields close to 230 bushels per acre. What's very specific for that region related to the environmental conditions, but it's quite high.
You've got, hybrid rye growing here in the United States, and it sounds like, several places within the United States. What's the market share look like as far as where you're having hybrid rye being grown now?
It's KWS, not only because KWS is based in Germany, but it's the most traditional country for rye cultivation. So one of our biggest markets is Germany, then Poland, but all the East European countries around are also important for rye. We have some sales also in UK. We had in Russia. It's a little bit difficult now with the political situation in Russia, so KWS is deciding what to do there yet. But Russia is also a quite important market. And then we have important shares also in Canada, now in USA, something also southern Europe, like in Spain as well. And those would be the main regions where rice sold actually.
So I'm going to switch gears on you just a little bit, maybe getting back into some of your background. But what drew you into working with hybrid rye? I mean, it's a relatively new crop, and it's obviously gaining some attention and gaining some market share. But, being new, it has some challenges with it, too.
I think we spoke a little bit about all that already. So what you just said, it's one of the things that most motivate me to work with rye. It's a new crop, it's an alternative, and has plenty of benefits. So I'm passionate for agriculture in general. And if I can help with something that will help people, will help farmers to thrive, to be successful, I like. So, and I see that on rye, basically. So it's a reliable crop, lower input crop. It's very resilient. So fits very well across a big region in the world. So I'm pretty excited and I pretty like this crop. So I guess that's what drove me here.
Did you have much experience with breeding before joining KWS?
I did my master in plant breeding. So I worked with popcorn on the planting, on the breeding side. And then I had 2 years also on Limagrain, work with canola. It was also on the breeding side. So this was basically my experience. I had the past 5 years of working with breeding, plus my study, my time of study dedicated to that. So it would be 2 or 3 years more. So in total, 7 years on breeding.
I'm not as familiar with the plant breeding side. I'll do product testing, obviously, at time to time. Are there key differences, you know, as you're looking at, you know, the hybrid rye versus some of the oil seeds or, popcorn is another cereal grain, right?
I would say that breeding rye would be a lot more similar with corn than with canola, because the nature of the crop. So both rye and corn are cross-pollinated crops, while canola is not. So the breeding methods are more similar between rye and corn than with canola. But in general, the concepts are the same, and there are a lot of similarities too.
So we are running out to our toward the end of our program here. And so just to start out here, to give us a quick break, before we dive into our final three questions, just a note here to the listeners. Remember to like, subscribe, and share the Crop Science Podcast Show presented by Wisenetics. You can also set the notifications on our channel so you don't miss upcoming episodes. And please feel free to leave us comments at any time if there's suggestions on future episodes and whether it's a topic or whether you know someone that would be very good for us to have on.
It's time for our famous three. Explore the future of agriculture with KWS, a global leader in innovation and sustainable farming practices. Uncover the exceptional qualities of our hybrid rye, cultivating a legacy for a greener tomorrow. Visit kws.com/US for more information and for dealer locations. KWS, seeding the future since 1856.
Okay, so it's time for our final three questions. And so, Denner, I'm going to ask you here. The first one is, what is your go-to farm agronomic resource?
I like to look at some forums talking about agriculture, specifically on rye. So I often research on that to see what's going on. So it's recent. I like a book, basically a chapter from a book called Rye Genome. So on that book, there is a chapter talking specifically about rye breeding. So it's very interesting because it has all the history behind that, why the crop was improved, what characteristics were looked up for improving the crop across the years. And it also replies a lot of questions that people has nowadays, because on some of the locations I visit, I listen from some people that rye, it's a weed. They look rye as weed, mainly on regions where wheat is grown heavily. And it's very interesting to see that on hybrid rye, this characteristic was improved because it is related to the dormancy on the old varieties that were grown on that regions on the 70s or even before. And then the hybrids were bred to lose that dormancy on the seed. So nowadays, we don't have it. You would have volunteer crop as any other crop, but not that problem with seeds dormant that would germinate 3 to 5 years later. So this chapter explains that, and I really like to read that. Time to time, I just go back and refresh myself.
Very good. So outside of agriculture, do you have any resources that you would recommend our listeners to seek out?
I would say I like to read the Bible. So that's the book I normally read more. So it inspired me. So I would recommend that outside of agriculture for anybody.
Okay. And then the last question, I know you're busy and you travel a lot, so I'm guessing you don't have a lot of this, but maybe you do. With all that you have going on, what do you do in your free time? What do you enjoy to do?
I like to travel as much as I can. I'm doing that while working right now. But I like to spend time with my wife doing that. So I like also to watch sports. I'm interested in several different sports, so I like to watch sports when I have time to. Yeah, and then also exercise. So those would be my three main activities outside of work on my free time.
Okay, I've got to throw in another question. Since you said you enjoy sports, which version of football is the best?
Soccer.
That concludes another episode of the Crop Science Podcast Show presented by Wisenetics. Denner, again, thank you so much for joining us today. I learned a lot about hybrid rye. If you enjoyed today's episode, please leave us a review. Your feedback is invaluable to us. Until next time, this is Mark Licht from the Crop Science Podcast Show.
Thank you.
Do you feel overwhelmed with mundane tasks that eat up your valuable time? It's time to reclaim your schedule and focus on what truly matters. Get your time back with elite remote talent without a time zone hassle. Delegate $10 an hour tasks to focus on more $1,000 an hour tasks. Schedule your free strategy call at wisevas.io.